The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false?
I preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent
from heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. On this Wednesday broadcast, Dr. White wants to give you the spiritual boost to make it through the week with strength. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with a rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
And as always, thank you again for joining us. I'm Randy White, your teacher here on Word for the World. And yesterday when we left off, we were in the fifth chapter of this book of James. We've been walking through James verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we have been blessed with the very practical nature of the instruction that James gives us. And we're in a section in James chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, where he gives us the encouragement and the instruction on what to do when we're in extreme. Now, most of you don't live your life in the extremes, but you get there from time to time, don't you? And we left off yesterday, and we're going to pick up right where we left off in the instructions on what we are to do when we're either suffering or we're stalwart or we're sick. Those were the three extremes, and the suffering one should pray. Now, this is where we're going to pick up here today. The suffering one should pray, the stalwart one should praise, and the sick one should prepare. There's some very vital information today for those of you who are in an experience of extremes in your life. The extreme of suffering, perhaps, or the extreme in which you're being stalwart in facing that which is yours, or that sad extreme in which you are sick with a terminal illness. James gives these instructions for handling extremes. The suffering one should pray. Let's get right back into the sermon.
Pray. Remember when Peter was in prison in the 12th chapter of Acts and James had already lost his life? That's this James. He had already lost his life and now Peter was in prison. And it looked like when the sun came up, Peter was going to lose his life. And the church gathered together, and do you remember what they did? They made placards and signed petitions, and they got ready for a protest march around the palace the next day. Do you remember that? No, you don't remember that. What did they do? It says they gathered into a home, and they had a prayer meeting. And the church prayed that Peter might be released. And there certainly was a miraculous release that came there. In fact, James really has already given this word as he began the letter in verse 2. He said, "Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely and without reproach, it will be given to him." Sometime when you're in that extreme of pressure that comes on suffering, he gives that word, pray. Pray for what? I know my tendency when I'm in that spot. I want to go to some of those psalms. They're called imprecatory psalms. And I want to pray those psalms on those people. Those are the psalms that kind of say, Lord, may their house fall down upon them, and may they get a flat tire today, and may a jet wheel fall off and land in their backyard. You ever want to pray that way? That's not what he's, that's not the encouragement that he's giving, as much as you'd like to feel that. He says, pray for wisdom. How am I going to respond? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? God, you give me wisdom. So the first word for those who are suffering hardship is to pray. The second word comes for those who are stalwart. They're being courageous in the face of a difficult circumstance. And he says for that one, they should praise. One who is cheerful, courageous, he is to sing praises. By the way, I must mention that the word cheerful, the English word cheerful, is used, if memory serves me correctly, about 90-plus times in the New Testament. But this particular word, cheerful, I believe is used 3 times in a verb and 1 time in an adverb. So when you read English, you can't tell one cheerful from the other cheerful, can you? But in Greek, there's certainly 2 different words. In fact, in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the 8th verse, it's speaking about those with certain spiritual gifts, and it says, when you have the gift of mercy, then give out your mercy cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians, it speaks about giving, and it says that we ought to give generously and not under compulsion, because God loves what? A cheerful giver. But those are different words. In fact, if you took this Greek word cheerful and used it in one of those other circumstances, you'd have some bad thinking all around, because what you would have is a person who comes, and there is this person around who comes and says, well, God loves a cheerful giver, and so I'm just courageously, I'm going to face this, and I'll pry that dollar out of my hand and place it in that offering plate. I am a man of God. Face that one with courage, didn't you? That's the word, to be courageous and to face that with that kind of joy. But that's not the word that's used there. The word that's used in the giving of mercy and in the giving of your wealth says, do it with a joy of heart and a joy of spirit, a gratitude that God has blessed you in such a way that you're able to release that in the same manner that Christ, though he was equal with God, felt equality with God, something he didn't have to clutch onto, but he released all of that. And you take the same kind of cheerful spirit into that. But here he uses this word courageous. And so those who are being courageous and taking a cheer at that which is facing you, advice is sing. Sing praises. Now, it's a good word of advice, first of all. I think that music being the song of the soul can help your courage, can't it? You, along the way, you begin to sing a song, and it begins to strengthen you, and it begins to encourage you. And the song in the night begins to be a blessing to you as you begin to sing it. I remember once I was under a great deal of pressure, and I just kept waking up in the night with a song that I honestly just had barely heard it and barely knew it. And yet I just kept singing it. And it became such a strength to you. May God bless you. May he keep you. I began to sing this old Jewish song. May no harm come upon you. May he make your name great in Israel. God just began to place that song on my heart, and I began to sing it, and it always began to bring about some courage. The one who's facing that situation in which you have to be courageous says, sing. Sing. Now, I want you to notice that this is one of those times, it's actually one of the few times in the scripture, where the instruction is given in the singular form. He should sing. That is, you should sing. I mean, those of us who aren't real singers, you know what we like to do? When we need courage, turn on the radio. Put in the CD. Listen to the choir sing. Oh, that's well and good, but that's not the instruction here. It doesn't say, when you need to be courageous, listen to music. It says, sing. Sing. I want to encourage you to learn how to do that. Now, some of you should keep your singing private. But that's not the point here. He says, sing. It'll do some good for you. It'll cheer your spirit on even further. It'll encourage you. In fact, do you remember some guys named Paul and Silas who found themselves in prison and they had to be courageous? And what did they do? They sang a song in the deep heart of the dark dungeon-y night, they sang. Here's James coming, giving this instruction. Maybe he's even thinking of them as he says, those who are cheerful, sing.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
Now, what about those of you who are sick? Those of you who are on your deathbed. The suffering one should pray, the stalwart one should praise, and the sick one should prepare. Notice what the instruction is, those of you who are sick, you must call the elders of the church. We could have a whole series on what elders means, but let's just say the spiritual leadership of the church. He calls the spiritual leadership of the church, and what are they going to do? He says, they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Prepare. How are you going to prepare? If you're on your deathbed, how do you prepare? Here's what it says to do. Make sure the spiritual leadership comes over to see you. Now, I have to say, this is the verse from which the Catholics get the idea of the last rites. And I think they started out in the right place. They ended up in the wrong place when they made it a sacrament. That is, something which you had to have in order to be under the grace of God. But they started out right here because that was the instruction. Call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what the elder does. We'll speak more about it in a moment. But then he goes on in verse 15 and he says, the prayer of faith, the prayer offered in faith, will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. I have to tell you, I'm going to take a little different approach to the scripture than perhaps you had imagined and perhaps you even want, and perhaps it'll bother you a little bit and perhaps you'll be even a little disappointed with it, but I don't believe that these are a couple of verses that we can use to say here is a formula for healing that you can bring about when you have an illness. Because I think that this scripture is saying those of you who are in the extreme that you have come to the end and your time is about up. Call the elders, let them pray over you, let them anoint you with oil. And the prayer, offered in faith, is what the New American Standard says. The Greek actually translated to English in a little better manner, I believe, would say this, the prayer of faith. The word offered is not really there. It's a prayer of faith. I don't think that means a prayer where you've wound up your faith string as tight as you can get it and you just muster up all the faith you can get. No. The prayer that is of faith, it says, will restore the one who is sick. That's what the New American Standard says, is restore, but even New American Standard has a little footnote, and some of you have a different translation, which I think is better, and that is, it says, will save the one who is sick. Because the word restore there, it's the Greek word sotza. We get an English word soteriology. Soteriology is the study of salvation, the doctrine of salvation. And so here it's using a salvation word. In fact, when the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, you remember, because she desired to be healed, the scripture says that the Lord spoke to her in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And what the scripture says is that Jesus looked at her and he said, your faith has saved you. Sotza. Your faith has saved you. Now, go and be healed. Isn't that interesting? He uses both words there. It's your faith that saved you. Now go be healed. I don't know if she was healed at that moment or not. The scripture says she was saved. Now go be healed. Now, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Now, you can take this. Grammatically, it would work to say, when this happens, that prayer of faith will restore you to health. There are times, not many, but there are times when that's what that word can mean. Predominantly, though, however, it means saved in the sense of what you and I would talk about being saved, about being born again. How is a person born again? How do they come into that experience? Typically, they call upon the name of the Lord, right? In faith, it is by grace you are saved through faith. And if you find yourself at the deathbed, the scripture says you need to go back and you need to remember that it is the prayer of faith that will save you. And what better time than at your deathbed than to stop and consider, if I ever had that experience, right? I said, God, I can't trust in myself, in my own good works, in my own efforts. I place my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior. It's that kind of faith that's saving faith, isn't it? It says, I can't do this on my own. My righteousness is just filthy rags. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Now, there's a few times in the scripture where that means healed somebody. There's a few more times where that scripture just means somebody got up, like they got up out of a chair. But you know, the preponderance of the way that is used, in fact, in all of the epistles, and the word is used dozens of times in the epistles, and every time that word is used in the epistles, you know what it means? It means a resurrection of the body. The prayer of faith will save him, and the Lord will resurrect him. Looks to me like it's saying this person's going to die. Call the elders. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil and be reminded that it's the prayer of faith that will save him and rejoice that someday death will be swallowed up in victory and the Lord will raise him again, even as we have sung about here in this service today. And it says, if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Literally it says, if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. That's not very good grammar, is it? But you know, it really is good theology. If it was sins that got him here to this deathbed, and some sins do, don't they? Those sins, plural, they really, in the eyes of God, when it comes to salvation, come down to what? An it. I know you got individual sins. You could list them all day long, don't you? But when it comes to salvation, those plural sins are just one. You break one aspect of the law, you've broken the whole thing. So if it was sin that brought him to this deathbed, it will be forgiven him by grace through faith. So why is it that the elder is supposed to come and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord? Is it for healing purposes? I studied anointing this week, and as I have looked at it, there are times when anointing was done for healing purposes, but it was very rare. As a matter of fact, the disciples, the apostles, rarely used oil in healing. Sometimes they were healed with the shadow of the apostle. Sometimes it was the word of the apostle. On one occasion, you remember, it was the handkerchief of the apostle. And sometimes even the Lord, he would touch the person, or he would made a little mud pie, if you will. I don't know. I don't understand all that, but rarely was oil used in healing. Why are they to come and anoint with oil? Well, very often, most times when you see it, oil was used as a comforting balm. If you didn't have anything else, use oil. Or if you needed comfort, use oil. In fact, we would do the same thing today, wouldn't we? If you get a sunburn, what are you looking for? Give me some oil to rub on this thing. something because I don't know if it fixes it or not, but it sure will make it feel better for a time. And this was a day in which medicine obviously was not as advanced as it is in ours, and we have a means of prolonging disease in a way. And we also have a means of suppressing disease so that it just slowly takes our life away rather than quickly and violently. But most disease, if it's left on its own, it will take your life quickly and violently. And so in that day, when someone got sick one day and 3 or 4 days later, they were on their deathbed and their body may have even been covered in boils or sores or painful lesions. And the scripture says, you know, there's really nothing we can do except to come and comfort this person. Call the spiritual leadership. Pray. Anoint them with oil. It's the prayer of faith that's going to save that person, and the Lord's going to raise them if they've committed sins.
Well, we're going to have to close out this sermon here, and I know that what I have just been teaching you is not necessarily what you wanted to hear and not always the common interpretation of these scriptures about this prayer of faith and the bringing of healing. But I would encourage you to take a real look at the text and the context of scripture and the teaching that it gives about healing and see that there certainly are times at which God heals us miraculously and wonderfully. And I'm grateful for those times. But there are so many times when we need to come and we just need to provide comfort to those who are dying. You see, sometimes because of just the general effect of sin, or sometimes because of our own personal sin, God has brought us to a position of death. And we who are believers and believe in the resurrection, that God will raise him up on the last day, we of all people need to have a strong conviction that death is not the end, and death is not always to be avoided. We need a better theology of death. So I present this passage of scripture to you in prayerful that it has been a time of encouragement and even a time of blessing, but perhaps even for some of you who are those who are sick, and it's time to prepare, to call the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you, and to make sure you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these sermons, as you can tell, are so practical. That's why we've called them shoe leather theology. Call us today and let us tell you how we can send this entire series to you. Now, I'd also love just to send a free CD to you. We have one called Why You Should Be a Zionist. It's a sermon I've preached about Zionism, that is, the support that Christian people have for Israel and the Jewish people. You've heard of it, no doubt, and you know some people who are very pro-Israel, even though they're not Jewish, and you may be saying, hey, what's up with that? And why should I be a supporter of Israel? I am such a committed supporter of Israel and the Jewish people for scriptural, biblical reasons. Oh, there are plenty of economic reasons or political reasons, social reasons, but there are some very strong biblical reasons. Let me share with them with you in this CD. I'd love to just send you absolutely free. We'll put you on the mailing list when we send it to you as well, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. Here's our host to tell you how you can get in touch with us to get this Shoe Leather Theology series or the absolutely free CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us today. I'm Randy White.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. And Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org.
Have you ever wondered why the United States does not play a prominent role in end times prophecy? Oh, there are a few people that have tried to stretch a little bit and try to see the United States in the prophecies of Ezekiel or Isaiah, but the truth is it really is a stretch. There is not much indication of the United States when it comes to the end. So in my book, The Antichrist, I ask a question. Does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy White, and I come to you each day with Word for the World and Friend of Zion, but today I'm coming to you with a special offer for my book, The Antichrist, What You Can Know and What You Need to Know. This week we've got a call-in special, and it is my book, 200 pages, paperback, easy to read, nicely presented, and we're sending it to you for $10. That's right, just $10, shipping and handling included. And we would love to get this sent off to you. Now, not only that, but you can call us with your credit card or your debit card or check by phone or even just give us a word that you'll send a check in the mail and we'll get this to you. We want it to be in your hands. And you can take this book, and when you call an order, we're also going to put in our DVD. It's 90 minutes of teaching on the Antichrist and the end times and eschatology. And it includes a section, just like the book does, on what happens to the United States. And in that chapter, I give three possibilities. Maybe we just lose our moral courage. When I look around at our society today, I wonder if we're not already there, where we've become far more concerned about what's in our pocketbook than our standing in the world and the stand for liberty. Maybe we lose our military courage. Maybe that we can win at any cost and we will not be defeated. Maybe that goes away. Or maybe the United States is simply decimated by the rapture. And after the rapture, maybe there's not much left. I'm going to lay this out to you in chapter 3 of the book, The Antichrist. You can get a copy. $10 is all it costs you. It'll include shipping and handling. It'll include the toll-free phone call. You can do it by check, by debit card, however you'd like to pay for it. By credit card, we'll take care of you right now when you call. And when you call now, we'll send you the DVD, also 90 minutes of teaching that complements the what you'll read in the book. The number is 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. 1-855-437-9448. The book is The Antichrist, What You Can Know, What You Need to Know. It's available today, $10. You want two copies? Two copies of the books? Two copies of the DVD? We'll send two copies of them to you for only $15, shipping and handling included. One copy of the book and DVD, $10. Two copies of the book and DVD, $15. 1-855-437-9448.